on the inside. All we are is men, not made of stone. Never ever conquer without a sense of knowing something. Take me as I am, not as you want me, darling. Crystal clear, easy as a window.
Pirate RC, I'm in New York City with Chris Wilson. It's a San Diego reunion of sorts. How you doing, Chris?
I'm feeling very excited to be here. This has been like just driving into New York was shocking, and I made the mistake of driving here because I felt like I was going to crash 5 times. Just overwhelming. The sights are very overwhelming.
Yeah, so, just looking around, right?
And yeah, seeing it's incredible.
A lot more cars than you would even see
cars
normally.
Cars and buildings and... But I'm thrilled to play tonight. I feel like I'm very inspired right now, so I can't wait.
Well, we're in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, which for those people who haven't been down here, it's a pretty happening part of town. There are a lot of people, a lot of things going on outside. It's quiet in this room, which is awesome, but there's a lot going on out there. So
that's awesome.
You've been on the road for like 2 months now?
It's been about 45 days. This is like June to December 2012, 6 months. We're just going around the country twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is kind of still kind of like new and fresh and still relatively the beginning for us. But, I mean, we've already been through the South and kind of getting to the East Coast now. It's really exciting. My first time doing any of this. So, I've never driven... As much as I've driven, I mean, I've never been to any of the places I've been in the past, 45 days, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
Well, so, thrilled.
Well, it's a pretty cool undertaking. I mean, just the whole idea of a cross-country road trip, but then you're performing in all these different places. So, what have you been surprised by so far? I mean, you've met all different people, I'm sure, and had all different audiences, and... You know, we're both kind of familiar with what the San Diego scene's like, and the observation I have from there is there's a lot of talking in audiences there, and I know the East Coast is a little different. So, just what have you noticed?
Well, I mean, as far as audiences go, first of all, from Texas to North Carolina, which is basically where we've been so far, met some of the nicest people. On earth, I mean, the kindest people. Plus, we're doing this thing called couch surfing.
Oh, nice.
So, pretty much every night except for two, we've couch surfed. And so, those people have brought their friends to the show. You know, it's been amazing to watch something grow with zero preparation.
Yeah.
But really older venues than in San Diego. So, a lot of the floors have a nice thump. So, when you beat on the floor, it's just like... I don't know, it's alive, you know, what we're doing is a lot more stripped down and tribal, kind of almost like than anything I've ever done, just acoustic guitar and saxophone I'm still getting used to it, but I think we're just now getting comfortable with it, and it's really awesome to see people's response, and I feel really grateful to be on this side of the country right now. I mean, I never felt humidity in my life, so I mean, I guess, I don't know, does New York not have humidity?
New York, you're really lucky, because about a week ago, it was terrible here.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
You couldn't even walk outside. It was bad. So actually, this is extraordinary. You're very lucky right now with the weather in New York.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
You felt it in D.C., I'm sure. You were just down there,
D.C. was crazy. And so I've also never seen lightning like this. I mean, in San Diego, you get a little lightning here or there, but this is like pow, 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 lightning. I've never experienced that before. So it's amazing because I was playing in D.C., and the lightning was brighter than the lights in the bar, and the thunder was louder than our stomping or our music. It was crazy. So still getting used to that. But, definitely a different audience in San Diego. I feel like from Texas to D.C. so far, it's like North Carolina. People are, I feel like, a lot more attentive.
Yeah.
And they're very present, and they kind of want to discover something.
That's what different people I've talked to have said, just that, you know, the audience always appreciates that you're there, but it's just different performing on that in that part of the country. So it was just interesting. Did you have that observation, which it seems like?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to take two loops around the country. Are you taking a different route, or have you even planned the second leg?
We started booking about 4 months before we left, and so we got up until, like, September. We filled in a few dates along the way, a few things fell through, but we're just now filling up September and through December, so we're pretty much taking the same route, which is exciting, but next time around is college season.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
So we're going to be hitting, like, Wilmington, North Carolina is a place we haven't been to, but we've heard is amazing, so we were in Raleigh, and that was fun, but it was a little bit, it was a Monday night, and we didn't really get a read, but I'm really excited because we get to experience different weather and the college season, so I feel like the experience is going to be a lot different next time around, but yeah, pretty much the same route. I think we're just adding California and Salt Lake City the next, you know, at the end on our way home, so.
Yeah, and get back home. How has it been just with the music? I mean, you released, what, an EP for this tour, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And how has that been different? Just because that is a different sound for you, really, from Endoxy and even from before that, just hearing you. And you said already it's a little more stripped down. So what was recording that project like? And then how has it been translating it live in all the different places?
It's been really interesting because, you know, I was so used to that big band, drums and the organ, the keys, the sax, the electric guitar. I feel like I miss my electric guitar, but we pretty much pieced this whole thing together. I mean, some stuff was recorded in the studio a little while ago, and then I finished everything else in my bedroom, and I think it sounds pretty good. I was really excited to finish it. It was nice, I think, to show people a different side.
Welcome to the good times, living in your own parade, learning how to roll the dice, showing up to play the game. So welcome to the good times, take it all back, throw it down in a hole, give it to the ground, leave it to the earth.
We're playing for new audiences now as this acoustic duo. You know, here I am looking like I'm going into convulsions, beating the floor and my guitar, because I hear all the drums and I hear all this other stuff, but for people who haven't heard us before, they don't hear what I hear, so it's really interesting to make that translation, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. I feel like I've learned how to, like, sing a little bit more, which is interesting, because there's nothing to hide behind, there's nothing to distract me. It's like, I'm forced to do better. I'm forced to, you know, be more present.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very new to me, because, I mean, with the electric band, you break a string, you're not going to really notice that much. The organ takes over those frequencies. But now, you break a string, and it's which I've broken a lot on this tour, because I guess part of it is that I'm excited, and the other part is probably the humidity, the heat, but so it's taken a lot for me to make this transition. Honestly, I feel like the first 2 weeks were pretty rough for me.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we've played a lot of shows, not only venues, but, I mean, on the streets, we've busked.
Yeah.
We played several house parties that have been, some have been makeshift, like, last-minute things that have been extremely successful.
Yeah.
I'm really, really loving it. And I can imagine at this point, or, you know, in the future, I know I'm going to put together a full band again.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, I think it's, you know, now that I've been through this acoustic thing, I feel like I'm going to incorporate that into the full band. Whereas before, it was just like rock and roll, rock and roll. And when you're touring as a new band in Fresno or, you know, Bakersfield or, you know, all these new towns, you're not playing the House of Blues and Belly Up that you're, you know, that we were doing in San Diego.
Yeah.
So sonically, I feel like we weren't represented very well in these, you know, dive bars and wherever we were touring to. So now with this acoustic thing, it's hard to sound terrible.
Yeah.
It's hard to sound terrible when it's just an acoustic guitar and sax. And when you add drums and bass and all this other stuff, and you put that into a terrible venue, it's harder to get the message through to a new listener. So I feel like doing this acoustic thing is a lot easier I mean, economically,
yeah,
mentally, emotionally, in so many ways. Definitely miss Endoxia, miss playing the full band, but this is definitely challenging me and making me a better entertainer and singer, and I feel like a writer. I'm aware of things a lot more. I mean, you go to a section, you read people's faces, I think it'll get a little confused. Like, maybe I should just take that section out. And we actually have literally changed songs while we're playing because of someone's reaction, you know. And I think that's been really special to be able to kind of get a read, like an honest read, because there's nothing other. You look at someone's face with the full band, like you're not sure if they're cringing because the cymbals are too loud or if the song sucks. You know, you don't really know, but. Now that it's just us two, it's like, it's that the song sucks, or I suck. So it's definitely been fun to have that challenge, and I think it's forced me to be a lot more present as a performer, and I think that's where all the honesty comes from. I have to force myself to get more inspired because there's less distractions, less things to lean on or you know, have screw you up or hide behind. So it's been really special in that sense. Just, I feel like it's been a huge growth process.
So have you guys been writing while you're on the road? Has that, or what's your writing process like in general? And then have you been able to do that on the road, or has it been just so intense you're not?
You know, I feel like there's songs that are unfinished that are in the back of my mind that I'm starting to really relate to and gravitate towards, and my experiences are making me want to put more into those songs, so I'm excited to write those. But this first month and a half or whatever it's been has really been for me about getting in touch with what I've already written,
because
it's brand new to everyone we're playing it to, so I need to play it like it's brand new to me. And so I've had to kind of revisit these songs, and while I'm on stage, I'm, you know, bit more present, and I'm thinking, what does this mean? What is this like? I gotta live every line. So that's been really cool. So I feel like it's almost like rewriting these songs, so I think that's an incredible thing. I've been really fortunate to have that experience and kind of rediscover songs that once meant the world to me, and now it's meaning a lot more in a whole new way.
Yeah.
So that's pretty rad.
No, that is. And have you found that any of your musical influences have changed a little bit now that you've kind of moved in a little bit into a new genre? Have you been listening to anyone different while you've been on the road? Or even who are you listening to?
You know what, I really listen to nowadays is like a Pandora station of like Django Reinhardt or Tommy Dorsey, that 30s, 40s big band stuff or gypsy jazz stuff. I feel like it's the instrumental and the attitude of those, that style and that era. It just makes me feel at ease, makes you feel comfortable. I've definitely been listening to a lot more local artists that we meet, so it's interesting to kind of get a read on the way people write from different parts of the country. I mean, it's definitely different. I mean, East Coast writers are so different than, you know, San Diego writers. It's very interesting to hear that. But I feel like I've been so focused on surviving that, and staying clean and figuring out what to do with all my laundry. I think in the next month or so, I can sense that I'm gonna get, you know, my birthday's in August. Something about this time of year, I get really, life becomes very colorful for me. Mm-hmm. I can sense that a lot of new songs and new artists to inspire me is coming on. I can feel it. Something's about to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's great. I think, to the couch surfing thing, just to go back to that for a moment, I mean, that's definitely something that wouldn't have been possible even a couple years ago, to do a kind of tour like this and just meet people in that way. And how has that been overall for you, for you guys?
I've had 100% great experiences with couch surfing. The people are so incredibly kind, and you have to be a certain type of person to let, you know, a stranger into your home.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has made me feel a lot better about this tour. I mean, it's allowing us to do it, really. I mean, there's no way to pay for a motel every single night. So couch surfing is incredible because you get to learn a lot more about the town and the people and what's happening there. And these people just want to share everything with you, and they want to learn about you. So I think couchsurfing is probably where most of our success will come from, you know, on these tours, because it's such a human connection that happens. You're building a relationship, you're staying in someone's home, it's very personal, and they kind of not only get to hear your music, but get a read for your life. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we stayed with we actually didn't even stay with these couch surfers because we had another place to stay, but they offered to have throw a party for us to play for their friends, so we did. We went over there, it was a big potluck, everyone sat down, we played, and this guy who was an artist, who was saying, I was really moved by this concept. He said, you know, I'm an artist, and I used to like hate Picasso and all these famous dudes, because you know, who wants to be inspired by something that's so stock, and everyone loves this guy. But I started reading about his life, and I realized, you know what, it's not just an artist's work that makes them who they are, it's their life.
Yeah.
You put your life into your work. And so I feel like, what is my life? What am I? Who am I? What am I doing here? And that really, I think, changed things for me. I got more grounded and rooted in what I'm doing after he made that statement.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Couchsurfing allowed that experience to happen. And I don't know, something about that concept, like, it's the life you live, and getting people to understand what you do, the sacrifices you make, just to do what you love.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there's a perception, I think, for a lot of people that if someone's, like, on stage, then that's all they do, and, oh, they just worked for an hour or two today, and that's it, and there was maybe somehow nothing else going on for the 20 years before that.
Yeah.
And even the 3 or 4 or 5 hours before that.
Yeah.
And what's going on after, and it's probably, I would guess, just as hard, if not harder, first of all, to put a tour together yourself and coordinate all this stuff and then go on stage and give it your all. I mean, you've kind of drained yourself emotionally then. And,
oh, yeah.
And for someone to make a judgment on just that part of your life is strange,
right.
Just like a picture, right, or a painting or whatever.
It's very interesting. That's why you got to keep touring constantly, because if you sucked that night, then someone's going to see you next time and say, I guess I just saw him on a bad night. I connected with this artist tonight. Maybe something I did inspired that artist. I mean, I feel like serious things happen when we get love from the audience. And I think, going back to what you were saying earlier, like the transition from electric to acoustic is, I think it's easier for people to listen to you for the first time like that. So the message is clearer, which allows them to give you know, be there and listen and give to you and be responsive, and then that feedback just keeps coming.
Yeah.
It just keeps growing and gets stronger and stronger. So I'm having the time of my life. I'm loving this. I feel very grateful to have the opportunity to do this. This is like crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing everything ourselves, you know. Joe's booking.
Yeah.
Initially, I did a little bit of booking. I mean, even Ingrid helped out with some booking. And then Joe's kind of taking it up from there. I'm doing all the graphics and Ingrid shooting photos, video, audio. We're capturing everything we can. We have a GoPro that hangs in the car, so we record our travels. It sits also connects to my guitar, so we have so much content that we haven't even had the time to go through and turn it into something. But I had to learn a little bit of like Dreamweaver to be able to edit the site so that we didn't have to pay $125 a month for updates. I mean, it's like, we've had to learn so much just to be a self-sustaining trio.
Yeah.
Three friends on the road for 6 months. Time to do what you love, it's now or never.
Yeah, and the whole thing, I mean, just as you describe it, it's very organic. And I think also talking about energy, and you're putting that energy into that, and then you're also putting that energy into music and getting it back from the audience. I mean, that whole concept, I think there is something to it. Like, whatever you're giving, you're going to get.
Yeah.
For sure, and I think that's kind of what you're experiencing now.
I think you definitely do. What do they say? Like, the more you put in, the more you get out. I mean, it's, if I'm having like a rough day, or I didn't sleep well, which happens a lot.
Yeah.
And you're drained of all your creative juices and your inspiration, your energy, and your body is just tired, and you weren't in a position to have fruits and vegetables the night before, or lots of water. It definitely takes a toll on your live show, and yeah. that's where the audience helps us, picks us up, and allows us to get through the next 45 minutes. And then once that's happened, we're definitely sweating and dead, you know, ready for bed. But and it's interesting too, because I mean, I don't know what people's idea of what like a rock star's lifestyle is like. For me, the most rock star thing I could possibly do is get in my pajamas at 8 o'clock and watch, you know, a little bit of Family Guy and go to bed. I mean, yeah. We definitely are not like partying or raging, or it's just so much work.
Yeah.
It's serious work, but it's great because I feel like we're really making something happen. I feel like we made some really great connections and built some serious relationships, and that's priceless. It's priceless.
Yeah, that connection with people, whether it's a business, personal, just fans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, plus, some venues have been incredible. You know, we played our first gig on this tour was at Skinny's Ballroom in Austin, Texas. It was like a Sunday. I think it was a Sunday, yeah. And there was about 3 people in the bar. One of them was the waitress. One of them was our couch surfing host, and then the other was like a, you know, middle-aged man who was having his usual cocktail, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But we played our hearts out and gave it our all and played as if there were 150 people in the room. And the owners were so cool, so amazing. They treated us so well. I mean, they gave us a little gas money and said, you know, it was a rough day or whatever, but you guys are great, we believe in you, and here's a little something. And they were just so nice and kind. It just made me feel like no bad days.
Yeah.
Just no bad days. You never know what you're going to get out of a situation. It's
yeah.
incredible. So I've been really surprised with the people, the venues, the response. We were on the street in Asheville, North Carolina, and I invited a guy and a girl, and I said, we're playing tomorrow. Right there. I'd love to have you. You guys look like you might be into it. Gave him a card. They went home, listened to the music. They dug it. And the guy like begged his mom and said, I can't. He gave his sister $10 to give him a ride. And he did everything he could to get to the show. And it's just like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like I haven't really experienced that in San Diego. I feel like everyone's just kind of on a different page out on the West Coast. It's a little bit, maybe San Francisco is a lot different, but
yeah.
still a little bit of like you're in your own world. And I mean, it's all right. I'm not. It's just has been a lot easier, I think, to play in the South and the East Coast so far because of how attentive people are.
Yeah.
And that makes us feel like if we're not making, you know, $2, and we're playing for 3 people, it doesn't really matter because it's quality, not quantity, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, play for 5 people, but they're really into it, and that matters. That really, really matters, so.
Yeah. What was the first album that you remember having a say in getting and listening to?
The first record I ever heard was, well, it's interesting because, I mean, nobody in my family plays music, and my mom, still to this day, she doesn't listen to music.
Yeah.
She just doesn't listen to music. So there was never any music around. But one day I found Rod Stewart live and unplugged acoustic.
Yes.
With a full band. MTV, I think it was like an MTV
yeah.
unplugged thing. Still to this day, it's one of my favorite records. That was, I heard that booming piano and the blues, the acoustic guitar and the songs and the vocals, and that definitely shaped me a lot. And then I got Middle of Nowhere, Hanson.
Yeah.
That was an amazing record. It's still to this day is one of my favorite records. But, and then I got into Metallica. And then when I went up to the Bay Area, I was really fortunate to meet the singer of this band called Mr. Big, who was my hero. I mean, I started playing with him when I was 12 years old, live in the Bay Area, 4 nights a week, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Up to 17, and then I moved back to San Diego, but my parents would drive me to every gig, and Eric Martin and Mr. Big, that pretty much was my, as still to this day, is my biggest influence. You know, it's the Paul Gilbert's guitar and the songs, and I feel like that was what I tried to model in Doxy after. It was like this super rad drums, bass, guitar, keys, organ, sax, all this cool instrumentation stuff, but built around a song.
Yeah.
And stuff's always changing, and I love that. So now that I'm doing the more acoustic thing, I kind of reflect back to my days of having Eric Martin write an acoustic, you know, songs with an acoustic guitar on my kitchen floor. And so that definitely was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
You know, so much heart and different kind of phrasing. I don't know. So Rod Stewart, Mr. Big, stuff. And I got really into Sam Cooke.
What was the first show you remember going to and seeing? The
first show I remember going to, actually Eric Martin took me to go see Aerosmith.
Oh, wow.
And I was... It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen, and Eric had toured with Aerosmith quite a bit, so, and they had like the same sound guy and management or whatever, so we got to like go backstage and get onto the Aerosmith bus, and I was so floored by the whole experience. And I remember the Aerosmith logo in confetti, or what was it called, dropping from the ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so epic that I thought to myself, this is the kind of live show I want. Just, I gotta do this. So Aerosmith, still one of my favorite bands. That was incredible.
And that's a big show to go to for your
first time. Yeah, that was my first show. I was really excited about that. It was cool for, you know, my hero to take me, and then like, it was such a rock and roll moment. I feel like I'll never forget that. He picked me up, drove me there, and took me, and, you know, and then the next day my mom let me stay home from school. I got home like 2 a.m, 3 a.m, so my mom is really incredible. I honestly feel like if I didn't have the parents that I do, there's no way I would be able to be out here. I wouldn't know to do this. I wouldn't have the push, or I wouldn't have someone saying, just go do it. Go, you gotta just go for it. So that's really incredible.
That is.
So
well, I think that's a good place to stop too. So
awesome.
We'll catch you on stage in a little while. And
nice.
For the listeners, you can find Chris on Facebook.
Chris Wilson and Planet Earth.
And on his website, go ahead with your website.
Chris Wilson and Planet Earth.com.
Cool.
I had to go with Planet Earth because, you know what? There's about 50 Chris Wilsons out there, and you know, they got like Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band and like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I was like, well, come on, I'm not gonna have like Chris Wilson and the Bone Crushers, or like, I don't know, something. I was like, I like Planet Earth.
Yeah,
this is a great place, and I draw a lot of inspiration from my time spent in nature, camping, being around trees.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, Planet Earth, you're all in the band, so you gotta learn. Time to learn the songs.
Yeah, learn your parts.
Yep.
I gotta get the guitar out.
We need some knee slappers and floor thumpers, and we need some vocalists. So. Chris Wilson and Planet Earth.
Cool, and you can catch Chris all around the country, so once this goes up, he'll just be about halfway through the entire tour. So, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you. I was digging graves with a smile on my face. I was living over a hole in the ground when came a day when I found this emotion to wipe me up and face flat on the floor. Well, I knew I'd feel that sound.